Mass. On this feast, dedicated to St. Joseph as protector of the faithful, the Church, in the introit of the Mass, speaks to us of the confidence we should have in the protection of God. She uses the words of the royal prophet, and would have us make them our own. Now, St. Joseph is the minister of this divine protection, and God promises it to us if we address ourselves to this, his incomparable servant. Introit. The Lord is our helper and protector. In him shall our heart rejoice, and in his holy name we have trusted. Alleluia, alleluia. Give ear, O thou that rulest Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a sheep. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. In the Collect, the Church lays stress upon God's choosing St. Joseph as Mary's spouse, and teaches us that one of the consequences of this choice was our having a protector who will be ready to assist us by his all-powerful intercession as often as we pray to him. Collect. O God, who by thy unspeakable providence didst vouchsafe to choose Blessed Joseph to be the spouse of thy most holy mother, grant that as we venerate him for our protector on earth, we may deserve to be aided by his intercession in heaven. If this feast be kept on the Sunday, a commemoration of the third Sunday after Easter is then made by this collect. O God, who showest the light of thy truth to such as go astray, that they may return to the way of righteousness, grant that all who profess the Christian name may forsake whatever is contrary to that profession, and closely pursue what is agreeable to it. Epistle. Lesson from the Book of Genesis, Chapter 49. Joseph is a growing son and comely to behold. The daughters run to and fro upon the wall. But they that held darts provoked him, and quarreled with him, and envied him. His bow rested upon the strong, and the bands of his arms and his hands were loosed, by the hands of the mighty one of Jacob. Thence he came forth a shepherd, the stone of Israel. The God of thy father shall be thy helper, and the Almighty shall bless thee with the blessings of heaven above, with the blessings of the deep that lieth beneath, with the blessings of the breasts and of the womb. The blessings of thy father are strengthened with the blessings of his fathers, until the desire of the everlasting hills shall come. May they be upon the head of Joseph, and upon the crown of the Nazarite among his brethren. This magnificent prophecy of the dying Jacob, wherein he makes known to his son Joseph the glorious destiny which awaits himself and his children, is most appropriate to this feast. It reminds us of the beautiful comparison drawn by St. Bernard between the two Josephs. We refer our readers to March 19th, where they will find the passage to which we allude, and in which we are told that the first Joseph was a type of the second. After prophesying what was to happen to his 10 eldest sons, the patriarch Jacob speaks with marked partiality concerning the son of Rachel. After speaking of his comeliness, he alludes to the persecution he received from his brothers, and to the wondrous ways whereby God delivered him out of their hands, and exalted him to glory and power. The words he uses may well be applied to the second Joseph, the spouse of Mary, and to the protector of the faithful. For who better deserves the title of shepherd and stone, that is to say strength, of Israel? We are all of us his family. He affectionately watches over us, and in our troubles we may rely upon him with all confidence as our staunch unfailing defender. St. Joseph's inheritance is the Church, sanctified and made fruitful by the ceaseless blessing of the waters of baptism. It is in the church that he exercises his beneficent power upon all who confide in him. Jacob promised the most lavish blessings upon the first Joseph, and these blessings were to last till the Savior, the desire of the everlasting hills, should come, when the second Joseph would begin his ministry, a ministry of help and protection, which would continue till the second coming of the Son of God. Finally, if the first Joseph be spoken of in this prophecy as a Nazarite, that is, one consecrated to God, and as a saint among his brethren, the second Joseph is to fulfill the prediction still more literally, for not only will his sanctity surpass that of Jacob's son, but his very home will be a Nazareth. In that city he will dwell with Mary. To that city he will return after the exile in Egypt. In that city he will terminate his holy career. In a word, Jesus, the eternal Word, shall be called a Nazarite. Footnote, St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2, verse 23. Because he is to live in that city with his foster father. In the first Alleluia versicle, we have St. Joseph speaking to us. He encourages us to have recourse to him and promises us untiring protection. In the second, the Church prays for her children, that they may have the grace to imitate the purity of Mary's spouse. Her prayer is addressed to him. Alleluia, Alleluia! In whatever tribulation they shall cry to me, I will hear them, and I will be their protector forever. Alleluia! Obtain for us, O Joseph, to lead an innocent life, and may it ever be safe through thy patronage. Alleluia. Gospel. Sequel of the Holy Gospel according to Luke, chapter 3. At that time, it came to pass, when all the people were baptized, that Jesus also being baptized, and praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape as a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee am I well pleased. And Jesus himself was beginning about the age of 30 years, being, as it was supposed, the son of Joseph. Being, as it was supposed, the son of Joseph. Jesus's filial affection for his mother, his jealousy for the honor of the purest of virgins, led him to treat Joseph as his father, and to allow himself to be called the son of Joseph. Joseph heard the Son of God call him father. He had charge of, he labored for the maintenance of the Son of the Eternal Father. He was the head of the Holy Family at Nazareth, and Jesus recognized his authority. The plan of the mystery of the Incarnation required that these relations should exist between the Creator and the creature. As the Son of God, now that he is seated at the right hand of the Eternal Father, has kept our human nature indissolubly united with his divine person, so likewise has he retained the feelings he had, when here on earth, for Mary and Joseph. With regard to Mary, his love for her as his mother has but increased. And as to Joseph, it is impossible to suppose that the affection and respect he had for him have now ceased to exist in the heart of the man-God. No mortal was ever on such terms of intimacy and familiarity with Jesus as Joseph was. Jesus was grateful to Joseph for the paternal care he received from him. What more natural than to believe that Jesus now repays him with special honors and power in heaven? It is the belief of the Church. It is the conviction of the faithful. It is the motive which suggested the present feast. The words of the offertory are taken from Psalm 147. Jerusalem, that is, the church, is bidden to rejoice because of the means of defense which God has given her against her enemies, One of the greatest of the blessings thus conferred upon her is Saint Joseph's protection. Offertory. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem, because he hath strengthened the bolts of thy gates. He hath blessed thy children within thee. Alleluia, alleluia. In the secret, the Church prays that we may imitate the carpenter of Nazareth in his detachment from earthly things. Secret. Supported by the patronage of the spouse of thy most holy mother, we beseech thy clemency, O Lord, that thou wouldst make our hearts despise all earthly things, and love thee, the true God, with perfect charity. Then a commemoration of the third Sunday after Easter is made, if required, by the following secret. Secret. By these mysteries, O Lord, may we be enabled to moderate our earthly desires and learn to love those that are heavenly. The proper preface that follows has recently been granted by the Holy See for use in all Masses of Saint Joseph. Preface. It is truly meet and just, right and available to salvation, that we should always and in all places give thanks to thee, O Holy Lord, Father Almighty, Eternal God, and to magnify thee with meet acclamation, to bless and praise thee on the feast of Blessed Joseph, who, being a just man, was given by thee to the Virgin Mother of God for her spouse, and as a faithful and wise servant, was set over thy family, that he might guard in a father's place thine only begotten Son, conceived by the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, our Lord, by whom, etc. The communion anthem is a sentence taken from St. Matthew's Gospel, wherein we find the glorious title of our holy protector, Joseph, the husband of Mary, and the still more glorious one of Mary, of whom was born Jesus. Communion. But Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who was called Christ. Alleluia. Holy Church prays in the post-communion that Saint Joseph, who is our protector during this present life, may intercede for us in what concerns our eternal welfare. Post-communion. Refreshed at the fountain of divine blessings, we beseech thee, O Lord our God, that as thou makest us rejoice in the protection of Blessed Joseph, so by his merits and intercession, thou wouldst make us partakers of celestial glory. The priest then adds, if need be, this commemoration of the third Sunday after Easter. Post-communion. May the sacrament we've received, O Lord, both revive us with spiritual nourishment and defend us by bodily succor. The following Gospel of the third Sunday after Easter is read at the end of Mass. Sequel of the Holy Gospel according to John, chapter 16. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "A little while, and now you shall not see me, and again a little while, and you shall see me, because I go to the Father." Then some of his disciples said one to another, "What is this he saith to us? A little while, and you shall not see me, and again a little while, and you shall see me, and because I go to the Father." They said therefore, "What is this that he saith? A little while? We know not what he speaketh." And Jesus knew that they had a mind to ask him, and he said to them, "Of this do you inquire among yourselves, because I said, 'A little while, and you shall not see me, and again a little while, and you shall see me.' Amen, amen, I say to you, that you shall lament and weep, but the world shall rejoice. And you shall be made sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in labor, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But when she hath brought forth the child, she remembereth no more the anguish, for joy that a man is born into the world. So also, you now indeed have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man shall take from you. Thanks be to God.